Once again, hopefully y'all had a good weekend enjoying this beautiful weather. Special welcome to anybody who maybe is visiting us for the first time. You're always welcome to worship with us here every Sunday and every day, for that matter, here at St. Mary's. You know, I got to play soccer at Pemberthy on Friday night, and you could just tell everybody was getting cabin fever from the cold and the rain, and it's packed on Friday night. So hopefully you've been able to get outside and be active a little bit. I know our friends up in Dallas and other areas had a little worse than us, so I guess we can't complain too much, right? And you got an extra day off class, right? Students can't complain about that. Speaking of it, where we are in the semester, we're about to start the fourth week of class. Many of you got exams coming up, so we are moving fast through this spring semester. It's going to be over before we know it, so it's good for us to keep living in that present moment and seeing where the Lord wants to help us to continue to grow and to flourish day by day. You know, where are we in the liturgical year? Still in green. We know Lent's coming up, so ordinary time, Lent is around the corner. So as we know, we just last week started the Sermon on the Mount, is what we heard in our gospel. So this another chunk of that sermon, the greatest sermon ever told, as Jesus is bringing in the new covenant. He's bringing the good news of what is Christianity and how are these Jewish people coming into this new covenant with our God, a fulfillment of the old law. And how does Jesus speaking to those first disciples and how he wants to speak with us today? So we know last week we had the Beatitudes. That was the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So we know this Beatitudes are happiness. How do we flourish in this life? Knowing God created our hearts for flourishing. And so if we're listening to the words of Jesus and we're doing what he says, then that's what's going to lead to flourishing. And if we do the opposite, then it's going to lead to sadness and loneliness and emptiness. And so it's good for us to recognize as these Beatitudes are good things for us to look at, a guide to live the Christian life. And so today we're moving on. Jesus begins right after the Beatitudes, is now he's talking about salt and light. It's interesting to think, out of anything he could compare us to and his disciples to, why is he saying we're salt and light? Well, first off, we know those first century Jews, salt was very important for them in their temple worship. So the priest, the Jewish priest, would use that salt to preserve the sacrifice. But then we also know that they would use salt just like we do for cooking, something that would flavor their food. So you think of what is the purpose of salt? It helps to preserve, and then it also gives flavor or enhances flavor. So if salt started to lose its purpose, if it started not being flavorful or enhancing flavor, we wouldn't use it. You know, you wouldn't buy it to put it into your food. And as Jesus even says, when it loses its flavor, then it's just thrown out and trampled upon. So it's good for us to remember that after we go to light, of this is what salt's purpose is, and if it stops doing its purpose, then it becomes worthless. All right, so we move in then to Jesus saying, you are the light of the world, especially for us on this sunny day. We see the beauty of light, the hope of light. Maybe some people in Dallas or in Austin, they lost their electricity over the past couple of days, and they didn't have light. They couldn't see well. They couldn't be warm. We see beautiful candles in our church services that remind us of Jesus being the light of the world, you know, the light that's a sign of hope. But if a candle stopped doing what it was supposed to do, if it wasn't giving us light, giving us the sign of hope, giving us warmth, then it'd be worthless. We wouldn't use them. But there's a beauty in the symbolism of them, but they also have this function of what they're supposed to do, what they were created to do. So in a similar way for each one of us, what is our purpose? What were we created for? God created us to love him and then to love others. The two greatest commandments that Jesus even reminds us of. So that's what we were created to do, to love God and to love others. So I think our gospel today is helping us to see and maybe even take a pulse on ourselves, is are we doing what we are created to do? You know, are we loving God first and foremost, and then are we loving our neighbors? Because if we're doing that, then we're going to flourish, as the Beatitudes said. But if we're not, you know, we're not fulfilling that purpose. Similar to what the candle or the salt would not be fulfilling their purpose. And then Jesus said they're thrown out and trampled upon. And I don't think we want that, right? So what happens if maybe we're feeling that we're a little bit lukewarm right now? You know, what happens if we maybe feel like our faith isn't where it should be, or we're not loving God or loving others? One of those things that we can look at is when we're coming to Mass on Sunday, you know, are we coming here just to check the box? Are we coming here out of obligation? Or maybe are we coming here forcing ourselves, or our significant others forcing us to be here? And if that's the reason that you're here, great, it's awesome you're here. But the hope is that God will bring you to a point where you want to come on Sundays because you love him, because you see that our faith is a relationship with God who's given us everything, and he blesses us time and time again. And so we come on Sunday to worship him as a people, to give him thanks for everything he's given us, and to worship him because it's fitting of what he created us for. It's part of our purpose is to worship him. That's fulfilling what we were created to do. And the Lord's gentle with us. So if we're not there yet, he's every time we come on Sunday, when we come to him in times of prayer, he's going to help hopefully churn our hearts to where we have this desire to worship, this desire to live out our faith, a zeal. I don't know if any of you have seen The Chosen, but there's some good episodes, especially the Sermon on the Mount. You know, after the people, the first disciples, as we see in The Chosen, if you've seen it, there's this great excitement. You know, that people are like, oh, did you hear that preaching? Did you hear that sermon? Did you hear this new law, this new covenant that Jesus is bringing in? And they couldn't stop talking about it. And I think there's a beauty there for us to see. Sometimes maybe we glaze over these words, or we've been handed on our faith since we were little kids, and so it just becomes normal. But for us to really channel in, when we hear these gospel, the words of the gospel, when we receive the sacraments, when we come to the Lord in prayer, that we too can have the same excitement for to receive Jesus into our own lives, but then to be able to share him as well. And yes, there's going to be seasons of life where maybe God feels distant, or maybe there's a tragedy we're going through, or a valley, and it's going to be harder for us to do that. But the more that we can keep anchoring our relationship with the Lord as the center of our daily life, the more we can continue to know him and to continue to do what we were created to do, then we're going to enter into that flourishing more and more each day. And we're going to stay rooted in the Lord instead of leaving him and then being thrown out and trampled on the ground like that salt. All right, so what happens if maybe that's where we are right now? Maybe we just need a little bit of fan into flame in our faith and in our hearts. The first thing is to really recognize what could be the cause of it. You know, maybe there's some type of wall that we've put up in our lives against God or against the church, maybe against a certain priest, maybe somebody, one of our family members, somebody who we think is our enemy or we dislike at work or in the classroom, our roommates, an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend. You know, that could be something that could dim our flame, that could put a bushel basket over our light. So it's good for us to see, do we need healing in our hearts? Do we need to say, all right, Lord, I need to be honest with you. There's some type of tension here. There's some type of woundedness here, and only you can heal it. And the way that we bring that to the light is bringing it to Mass, bringing it to our prayer time, maybe talking to a priest or religious, bringing it to confession so that the Lord can heal and to bring his truth, because that could be one of the obstacles that's keeping us from that flourishing and from living out our faith. Another one could be sin, which sin also wounds us. If we have major sin in our life, then that's a darkness that's going to be covering that light. So that's also something for us to look at. Like, the Lord is gentle. He's walking with us. He's accompanying with us. But if we have major sin, to keep trying to grow in virtue, to keep surrendering it to the Lord, that through his grace and through the hope of the resurrection, that we will be able to fight that good fight and overcome that sin. Another thing for us, too, is maybe we feel like we don't have a woundedness or we don't have that major sin, but maybe there still seems like a lukewarmness in our lives, is really to see, are we spending time with the Lord each and every day? Are we coming to him in the scriptures? Are we coming to him to a prayer? And not just as we're driving to work or driving to class, not just as we're walking to our class across campus, but setting aside intentional time with the Lord each and every day. And then also receiving him in the sacraments, these sacraments that he gives us as gift for us to be able to flourish, for us to be able to have our souls wiped clean through the sacrament of confession, to be able to receive his body and blood on this altar, that more and more each day our eyes will be open to understand this great mystery of our faith, but to trust that maybe in ways we can't even see, that his body is transforming us little by little to love him more and to have greater intimacy with him. All right, finally, after we recognize our own light, then also by our baptism, you know, the purpose of this new life with Christ, our baptism is then we share light. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're sharing that light with others. And that is something as easy as having a conversation with our friends that are in our sorority or fraternity or our org on campus. You know, having a conversation about the faith, you know, at mealtime with our roommates or at Sabisa, whatever it may be. You know, to not be afraid to bring up, hey, what do you believe about this? Or what's your walk like with Jesus? Or are you Christian? Are you Catholic? Did you used to be Catholic? Because there's a lot of students on that campus that grew up Catholic and are no longer practicing the faith. And we want to be able to dialogue with our Christian brothers and sisters who are also part of the body of Christ, our Protestant friends, but then also to be able to bring back those who were baptized in the Catholic faith and to let them see the beauty of living that Catholic faith. And it's as easy as starting that conversation. All right, so as we continue on, I just want to give a couple of examples of light that I've seen even over this past week. So there's a student I met with, he was in the Corps of Cadets, and he's going to be commissioning soon. And he came to me to say, Father, how can I live my faith in the military when I leave this place, when I might not have access to the sacraments? You know, how can I witness to the other men and women in the military where we can maybe have a Bible study together? So it's awesome for him to already be seeing how can he share that light when he leaves A&M, which was an awesome witness to me, and I know will be an awesome way that the Lord will help him to share that light with others after. You know, there's a couple that I'm preparing for marriage, and they're choosing to not live together. It's financially hard for them. It's hard for them even emotionally, spiritually, physically, because they love each other so much, and they wish they could be together all the time. But they are sacrificing for the sake of the good of what the church and what of Jesus upholds, that living together and sexual relations is just within marriage. And so they're very counterculture in this, but they're a light to the world as they are waiting to cohabitate until their wedding day, after their wedding day. So once again, just this beautiful sign, this beautiful light for the whole world to see of this couple that is trying to live as God has asked us. Finally, too, there's this guy that told me that there's a girl on campus, thought she was kind of cute in class, went up to her, hey, what are you doing later today? And she said, I'm going to confession. She didn't know that he was Catholic, but because she was honest and didn't be like, oh, I'm going to church or I'm going to hang out with friends, she said confession, and it convicted him. He hadn't been to confession in a while. She didn't know he was Catholic, and then he went to confession. So an awesome way, that one word of her witnessing, being honest, that convicted another to go to the sacrament. So another beautiful way of shining that light on campus. All right, friends, as we wrap up today, one of the things we're doing at all the Masses, and we do this at the beginning of every semester, so we have students coming and going through St. Mary's, and together St. Mary's is a light for the world. You might not know it, but everybody across the nation who's in the Catholic bubble knows of St. Mary's and the great work, the students who are living out their faith here in great numbers. So we want to make sure as we come to this altar, as we come to worship as a body, as a people every Sunday, that we are also doing that in similar norms, you know, so that we know how to worship as a people, as we are little lights coming together as a great light. So first and foremost, we recognize that the Mass is worship. You know, we're not coming here to be entertained. You know, we're coming here for our purpose, as we were created to worship God every Sunday. So I encourage you to remember that this is a prayer that the priest is praying at the altar, offering the sacrifice on behalf of the people. So when you're coming here, you're entering into the priest's prayer and bringing your own offering as well to the altar. So that's what the Mass is. You know, whenever we come to Mass, it's good for us, especially parking's crazy right now. So get here early so that you get a seat, and then also that you don't have to come in late because of Mass or because of the parking situation. Also, are we going to Mass dressed like we're going to a tailgate? You know, or are we coming to Mass dressed to worship the Lord? Something that's different as we enter into the house of God versus going to our tailgate. So how we dress is going to help us show what we value, as well as help us to enter into that worship, that this is something different. And then finally, you know, we stay for the entire Mass. The Mass is over when the priest or the deacon says, go forth, the Mass is ended. We're Aggies, we can get that, right? You know, pretty simple. Or go in peace. That's when the Mass is over, not any time before then. So I encourage you, maybe you grew up leaving early with your parents. That was not a good example. Break that bad habit and stay the entire Mass. You know, whenever our actions speak louder than our words, if we're leaving early, what does that say to God? What does that say about our worship? And we have 7 Mass times here at St. Mary's, so go to one. You know, if there's that basketball game coming up or that NFL football game, the Super Bowl coming up, go to a Mass where you can stay the whole time, where you don't even feel like you have to rush out to get somewhere. Put it into your schedule. Make it the priority of your Sunday, of your Sabbath day. Also, we have the Eucharist that's here. It's the real presence, so we don't believe it's a symbol. We believe it's truly Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity, that it's a mystery of our faith that was passed on to us at the Last Supper. St. Paul reiterates that in 1 Corinthians. We see the first couple hundred years of the church already celebrating the Mass. We can go back and look at those documents. So it's important for us to recognize that this is the Eucharist, that it's not a symbol, it's the true presence of Jesus. And therefore, only those, even since the beginning of the church, that believe all the teachings of the Catholic Church and also are baptized, and believe that it's truly Jesus' body and blood, are then able to receive the Eucharist. We presuppose unity of being in full communion with the church, then you can receive. So it's always great to have our Protestant brothers and sisters here. You're always welcome to worship with us. But if you have a significant other or a friend or roommate that you're inviting to come who's not Catholic, just tell them, hey, during communion, just cross your arms like this and you can receive a blessing, or if you're more comfortable, you can stay in your pew. So just give them a heads up. Also, for us Catholics, if we're in mortal sin, we should also not receive. So that's good for us too, until we go to confession and have that sin wiped clean, that we also just receive the blessing if we're not in a state of grace to receive. All right, awesome. Well, thanks so much, guys. It's been an awesome start to the semester. Continue to just grow in faith where you're at. We don't need to compare to each other. The Lord wants to meet you where you are, and then to be able to help you to fulfill your purpose, to be that salt of the earth, to be that light to the world, so that together as a community, we can reach souls on campus, as a community that we can witness Christ.
Thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.